Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our next guest, and we tried to get him on last week, and glad the schedule's finally worked out. And that is State Representative Brian Calley from Portland and now Republican Lieutenant Governor candidate. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Just fine. Well, kind of a whirlwind week for you, right?
Yeah, sure has been. We've been all over the state already, and more of the same coming up, trying to meet as many people as we can with this message.
When did you know that you were going to be Rick Snyder's choice as Lieutenant Governor?
Well, it was the day before the big announcement was when I heard the final word or the final say on it. Had some idea, of course, earlier than that as we went through a process of getting to know each other.
How were you vetted with this? Did they come and ask you a million questions, or are there people kind of snooping around?
I think there was a little bit of all of that going on. I know that I answered a lot of questions, and throughout I've taken a lot of votes in my lifetime, and so as they'd gone through my 3.5 years worth of votes and so forth, they had spent a great deal of time trying to determine how good of a fit it would be.
We've had Rick on this show, I believe, 5 times. Did he tell you why you were his choice?
No, he said that he was looking for a partner that could help him in the governing process, as opposed to the traditional reason you pick a running mate, which is somebody who maybe helps you more politically than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so, as he was looking for somebody with energy and excitement that really had bought into. In fact, I helped him develop some of his policy proposals over the last year. That it just turned out to be a great fit. I see the world the same way that that Rick does in so many things, and our mode of operation is very similar. The idea that we're not looking in the rearview mirror. I mean, we're going straight ahead with a positive vision for Michigan, and we're going to prove that you don't have to get involved, lower the discourse of politics to what it has always been in the past. You can do it in a new and positive way, and I think the citizens really deserve that.
Rick, your nomination as Lieutenant Governor was not without some conversation and controversy last weekend. What do you make of the Tea Party's reaction to you as Lieutenant Governor?
Well, I'm just thrilled that we have so many new people involved in this process. And if Republicans are smart, they will embrace Tea Party activists getting involved with the party. Now, as we go through this nominating process, while it's traditional that you would just accept the choice of the governor candidate, it is still subject to approval by the delegates to the state convention. So it was just the democratic process working itself out, and so I was very thankful for the way that Bill Cooper had conducted himself during that time, the candidate that was also considered as for lieutenant governor, and was just thankful that ultimately it worked out that I could join Rick's team and be part of this change up and reinventing Michigan.
Brian Calley, state representative from Portland and Republican candidate for lieutenant governor, our guest on Ebling and You. Brian, was the principal objection that you were seen as not being far enough to the right?
You know, I don't know exactly what was going through the minds of all the different people that were involved in this, because, the beauty of the Tea Party movement is that it's not a centralized movement. It's just grassroots across the board. And I can tell you that since the convention has taken place, that leaders of different coalitions and Tea Party groups from all over the state have reached out and indicated that they wanted to get to know me better, wanted to help with the get with the campaign and support it, and let bygones be bygones. And I think it's just fantastic. It shows that this is a group of people that's putting Michigan first.
We heard that you had been maybe unfairly associated with what is now a very unpopular tax, the Michigan business tax. We know you were there, you were in the room, but some people describe you as the architect of that tax. Others say that's unfair. Can you explain that whole process?
Sure can. You know, the when I was in my freshman year, freshman in the minority of the House of Representatives, there were no real advocates for small business. And when it was clear that there were votes all the way through the House and the Senate to get the Michigan business tax passed, I knew I had to get involved and try and minimize the damage to small business. Mm-hmm. That's why I worked so hard in the small business credit. I was able to save 50,000 businesses from the brunt of the tax and from the surcharge because of the work that I had done. So right. I was in there fighting for small business, but the problem was that there was just a fundamental lack of leadership and a broken culture in Lansing. And it's not, the result is not good enough. And that's why I'm proud to be part of the development of Rick Snyder's vision for the tax the tax plan in Michigan, which is just a simple, flat 6% corporate income tax that you could figure on the back of you could figure on a post-it note. It's so simple.
What would that do to revenues for the state?
Well, I don't have access to all of the tax return information that is filed with the state.
Would that generate enough money without having massive cuts in higher education, K-12, corrections, and social services?
We're going to have to totally reinvent and change up everything in Michigan. I would go ahead and just assume that we're going to have to find ways to run this government, run the state government, local government, schools, universities, and the whole lot on less money than we've had in the past. That's just the new reality that we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get the economy going again, then all of these problems get much easier to solve. And so for Rick Snyder and for myself, and I think for the majority of Republicans and Democrats that are running today, that's a truth that we all accept. It's a basis of understanding that the economy has to come first, even if it makes it harder to run the government in the meantime.
We've heard different proposals on it, Brian. One is that you could do away with this surcharge and a little more if they would have a tax on services. We've also heard that you could do away with the entire Michigan business tax and have something a lot of businesses would like if they just had a graduated income tax that would affect the top 2% of wage earners. Your take on either of those plans?
Well, I can tell you that the idea of a graduated income tax eliminating the business tax and only affecting 2% of the top 2% of wage earners is a fantasy. There's no way that those numbers would bear themselves out.
Okay.
To be accurate. And so I look at it like our Constitution forbids a graduated income tax. The voters have passed on that each time. I think that would be ill-founded to start with that type of proposal.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that we do have to be open to looking at ways to simplify and implement fair tax systems.
Could that include a tax on services?
You know, it is depending on the mixture. Just implementing a tax on services would be difficult, I think, to make a case for. Unless you were looking at a situation where you could make the overall business climate better in Michigan to operate in.
Since we seem to be moving toward a service-driven economy, would that be fairer in the minds of a lot of small business owners?
Again, it depends on what the other changes would be mm-hmm. in the tax system.
Okay.
I mean, we have to, it's kind of like a balloon. You push in one area and it pops out in another.
Right.
You know, all these decisions that you make have impacts on other areas, and there's no way that you ever come up with a plan that everybody just thinks is fantastic. But we do need to be competitive and stop thinking in terms of saying that, you know what, if we can just be in the middle of the pack. You know, middle of the pack's not going to be good enough. We have
right.
to totally reinvent the state.
Brian, we really appreciate you being with us, and we talked with Brenda Lawrence the other day and asked her the question I'm going to ask you now. I know there are three gubernatorial debates on the table. We would love to have the two of you in an exchange of ideas here, and she said that she would certainly be open to that. Is it possible that we can talk to you more about that later and see if we can get the two of you in studio together?
Yeah, that sounds really nice. So if we can... if we can work out the schedules that we can both be involved and give the voters, show the voters a contrast or what we're all about. I think that'd be a great thing.
I think an honest exchange of ideas there would be very helpful to the voters, and our executive producer, Scott Eckersley, will be in touch with your staff shortly.
All right. Sounds good.
Right. Thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
Brian Rooney, state representative from Portland. I'm heading out to Portland tonight, Scott. Heading out there for the DeWitt-Portland football game. He is, of course, the GOP lieutenant governor candidate. This hour of Ebling and You is brought to you exclusively by AT&T. Find out what's possible when you can record your shows and play them back in any room with AT&T Total Home DVR. AT&T, rethink possible. We'll be right back with more. We talk with Scott Zirka, president of Michigan Association of United Ways, coming up next on Ebling and You.